Aisha Curry. I am a mom, a wife, an entrepreneur, a restaurateur, and I love all things home and hospitality. I say to, you know, all of the women out there who have a passion and want to do something, that's where, you know, the success will stem from, is the passion that gives you drive. And don't let anybody tell you no. So just press forward and work really, really hard. Work when everyone else is sleeping and things will start to look up.
This is Secrets of Wealthy Women from the Wall Street Journal, helping women empower themselves financially. Now, Veronica Dagger.
New York Times bestselling author and entrepreneur Aisha Curry joins us to talk about her new lifestyle brand, Homemade, what it takes to sustain a website, and what aspiring businesswomen can learn by following her lead. Aisha, you grew up in a religious home.
I did.
How does that affect your life today?
Religious is the wrong term. I did grow up like a Christian and with that religion, but I grew up more so being taught to have a relationship with God. And so I think that that's really shaped and molded me through my adulthood, because I always have my relationship with God to fall back on and, you know, give me a sense of peace in all the craziness that's going on in the world. So I think it's everything. It's the foundation of who I am.
You're a self-taught chef.
Yeah.
What's your advice for other women who want to try something new, but they're afraid to because they don't have a formal degree in it?
Yeah, that was huge for me, being okay with the fact that I wasn't a classically trained chef, didn't go to culinary school. But I had people backing me in my corner who told me, that's fine, we move on from that. And we use, you know, the things that we didn't learn as growth, and you just work extra hard and you learn what you need to learn and you'll be fine. And so I say to, you know, all of the women out there who have a passion and want to do something, that's where, you know, the success will stem from, is the passion that gives you drive. And don't let anybody tell you no. So just press forward and work really, really hard. Work when everyone else is sleeping and things will start to look up.
How can women discover their professional passion after they have kids?
Oh my goodness. So that's me in a nutshell. I've loved food my whole life, but I didn't know that I could make, you know, my culinary profession a thing. That industry is very male dominated. It's starting to shift now, but generally speaking, it still is. And so it took for one person to tell me I could do it to make it happen. And I fell even deeper in love with food after I had my first daughter, because I was worried about where things were coming from, how they were made, what the ingredients were going into it. And so I took a step back and really fell in love with it even more and started my blog first. People gravitated towards it. And so I said, hey, I think I can make this bigger and better. And I haven't stopped ever since.
Who was that person who said, hey, you can do it?
It was actually, so this is actually a cool story. It was actually two women, one named Amanda Haas. She was the culinary director at Williams-Sonoma, and another named Jennifer Aker Smith. And she is the head of the business school marketing department at Stanford Business School. And they were sitting in my living room, and I was just picking their brains and, you know, kind of had a whole cloud of self-doubt over my head, and they basically broke down the walls and told me that I should press forward. I showed them actually I had a bunch of sheets of paper written down of this book idea I had and this restaurant idea I had, and I didn't have the people backing me that I have now, but I showed them like handwritten notes, and they were like, no, this is great. You should do it. You can do it. And hearing that from like another successful woman, I think gave me the push that I needed to be like, hey, they're moms too, and they're out there doing it. I think I can do this.
How do you keep your identity when you're part of a famous couple?
There was about a year when we first got married and I found out I was pregnant with our daughter that I was so young. I was 22, 23. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't really know who I was. I had given up a lot. And so that was hard for me, trying to find my own identity. But I think it's just making sure, regardless of what it is that you do, if you're a stay-at-home mom and that's your passion, that's wonderful. But I think it's really putting your whole self into whatever it is you're doing and making sure that you're passionate. I feel like if you have that passion, then that's the only validation you need, is that you're doing what you love. And that should, you know, help fuel and boost your identity. But it also takes a lot of support from whoever your spouse is as well, making sure that, you know, there's that mutual support and that mutual success, and you're lifting each other up. I think that is a huge important part in with the identity.
What's the greatest professional obstacle you've overcome so far in your short life?
I would say opening my restaurant is the greatest obstacle. I kind of, you know, dove in head first, obviously with no training. I had a great team backing me and people who I know, you know, are successful in the business. And so that part of it, I wasn't afraid, but I was afraid of like how receptive people would be to our concept. A lot of the menu items were actually, you know, my recipes and things that I developed. And so that was huge for me, overcoming that and seeing people walk through the door and tasting the food for the first time.
What's the biggest lesson you learned about that business so far?
It's hard. It is grueling. It doesn't stop. You can't say no. That's like the number one rule in the hospitality industry. So you always have to give the people what they want. And for me, they say like once you're bit by the hospitality bug, you'll know from like being in that industry for an hour, being in the kitchen for an hour, you'll know if you belong there or not. And so that was nerve-wracking for me. And once I was in there, I swear I got bit by the bug and I was like, this is it. I love this. I love making people happy through hospitality.
How often are you in the kitchen there?
Not as often as I would like, to be honest. I would say a couple times a week. I've expedited a couple of times, but it makes me nervous. That's one thing that I have to work on, is building that aggressiveness and that ability to be able to tell people what I want and to delegate. That's something that I'm still working on, even with everything that's going on. My plan, though, is to be there at least 3 nights a week. So,
you know, I've heard other women say they often have trouble delegating or being aggressive, as you said. How do you think we get over that as females?
It's hard, right? Because the perception is when a woman is aggressive, she's a you-know-what. And that's not the case. I think it's okay for us to know what we want and what we need. And I think overcoming that for me is just realizing that I'm not that word. I'm just firm in my beliefs and what I know that I need. And at the end of the day, like when you're direct, I feel like people are happier because they know exactly what it is you're asking for.
What advice would you give to women who are facing obstacles because their minority is opening their own business?
I would say, you know, so for me, obviously I'm in a partnership with GoDaddy, and I think that the internet in general gives us so much help, and having a domain and a website is incredible. Making sure that you're on all platforms from a social media perspective and just getting the word out there. It's such an easy marketing tool to have these things right at our fingertips. And so I think even if you have a storefront, if you're opening a small business in a small city, it's still important to have those things. And I feel like that's a great help.
What motivates you to work?
Oh my goodness. So I grew up, my mom, there not one day went by in my childhood that I didn't see her working her butt off. And she's an entrepreneur herself. She's been a small business owner for 40 years. She's a hairstylist, so she's a hair salon. And just watching her work ethic and seeing how strong and beautiful and amazing she is, it kind of rubbed off on me. And I feel like I had no choice but to jump into something of my own. I love it so much. So watching her really has like shaped me.
I read that your goal was to have your first book be a bestseller, which it was.
Yeah.
How important is goal setting to you?
It's huge. It's a form of manifestation. And I like believe 100% in putting out into the air what you want back. And she's standing right off to the side of me, but I sat down with who would become my management group. And they said, well, what do you want? And I was like, well, this is what I want. And I could tell they were a little skeptical. They were like, okay. But we literally accomplished every single goal that I said out loud within like a year, I'd say. And we were like, okay, now what? And it's just everything's grown since then. And I truly believe that it's like putting yourself out on the line and saying what you want. It kind of gives you this sense of accountability. Like, you have to do what you say and what you put out into the universe. And so it's not, I'm saying this and it's going to happen. It's, I'm saying this, people are hearing me. And so I need to back it up with hard work and effort.
How do you figure out what to go after?
I just, honestly, I take on projects, I do things that make me truly happy, and that I feel like I need myself. And so there's nothing that I've done that I haven't had a need for it in my own life. I'm never putting anything out there just for a check or because I want to, you know, see it grow into this big thing. It's because I have a void and I want to fill it. And so that's how I decide what I need.
Coming up, Aisha Curry talks about how motherhood and her marriage to NBA star Steph Curry drives her to be a better entrepreneur.
Your Money Briefing will explore what you need to know to become a homeowner and how to sustain your home by learning ways to manage the costs from unexpected expenses.
You're basically always in a state of checking. You're always keeping your eye open for anything that could be going wrong with your house. Your house is a complicated machine. It has a lot of systems and components in it, and those systems and components are getting older. They're wearing out.
You can get early access to our series, Buying a Home and Keeping It, on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
You're listening to Secrets of Wealthy Women from the Wall Street Journal.
What do you say to people who say you're only successful because you're Steph's wife?
That's a tough one. That's a sucky one that I'm still dealing with. It's so funny. But I know that that's not true because I remember a time like back in 2013, I literally spent $500 starting my blog, and that's the only money that I've ever used for my business. Everything else has like been from that $500 seed that I used growing into this everything else. And so I always say, like, yes, doors were opened. That's obvious. It was inevitable. But I had to be the one to walk through them, and I had to be the one to put in the work to stay in the room. And so that's something people will say it for the rest of my life, I'm sure. But I have the confidence, and I know how much work I've put in to be able to stay in the room and build what I've built. So I have no problems with it.
What do you think of the Gwyneth Paltrow Goop comparisons?
Oh my, wait, what do you mean?
Heard it once or twice.
Really? Okay. That's awesome. I'll take it. I think Goop's so cool. They actually have a drink that they sell that I drink. It's like a morning tonic and it's delicious. But I love it. I love what they're doing. I love their city guides. That's a great comparison. I don't know what to say. Okay.
What branding advice do you have for other entrepreneurs?
Be true to your own brand. Be true to yourself. Don't try and emulate anything else. I think having a distinct identity is very important when thinking of your brand, but ultimately making sure that your ethos makes sense and that it's true to who you are. You're not putting something out there just because you think people are going to love it. You're putting it out there because you know it's the right direction to go and it makes you happy.
What role do you think websites play in a world where Instagram is becoming more of a favored tool mm-hmm. for consumers?
I think it's huge. I think it's a way, Instagram, right? You have pictures, you have a little bit of a caption. Your website, you're able to design it and make it look aesthetically exactly what you want your brand to represent. And I love that. It's, you know, it's your own, literally your own domain. It's your own world. It's your own place. And you can truly build the world that you want via your own website. And so I love having that. I think everybody should have a website if they have a business.
What do you think the secret is to building an online community?
I think it's being honest and raw and truthful. Especially for me, I guess as a person as a brand, I think it's, I don't just share all the good things. I try and share like the funny things, or if I'm not having a good day, like I let people know. And I think people can relate to that. And so it's not only a community for others, it's a community for me as well. And like sometimes if I'm not having a good day, I like look to that community to give me a little boost of confidence. And I think that that's okay.
Do you ever worry about oversharing?
Mostly when it comes to my kids. And I'm very, very careful about what I share about my children. and my home, because I want them to have growing up like as normal as a life that as we can give them. And I know part of that is unrealistic, and that's fine. But what I can control, I try and control.
Speaking of the kids, how do you make sure they're not going to become entitled?
Oh, we actually, it's so funny you say that. My husband and I were having a conversation the other day because we were looking into, you know, moving and just talking about saving and creating a cushion for, you know, the next generation and the next generation. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. And in hindsight, that's what every parent hopes to do for their child. I said, but we're not going to do that. Like, we're not going to let them know that that's the case. Like, we'll make sure they're okay, but they're capable of being great on their own. And so I don't think we give them the cushion. I think we give them the mental tools and show them an example of what hard work looks like, but we're not going to hand anything to them. And so I think, obviously, there'll always be a little sense of entitlement just because of what's going on around them. But in our home, and again, what we can control, they're not going to have that. Like, I refuse. I refuse. Already, I have a 3-year-old and a 7-month-old. And with the 6 and the 3-year-old, like, even when it comes to, like, getting something out of the fridge, I'm like, oh, no, you're not just going to go grab that. You need to use your manners and you need to ask. And we'll get it for you and we'll help you. And you're not going to eat that whole thing of raspberries. This is what you're going to eat. So already I'm, like, trying to implement, like, a little bit of boundary. Because I think that's important.
And Steph agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. He's more of the disciplinarian than I am, to be honest.
You say you don't worry about running a perfect household. What do you mean by that?
My house is an absolute mess. And, you know, I try my best to live like my best Marie Kondo life. But ultimately, perfection is not. It doesn't exist. And if it does, like, are you leading a happy life truly? And so I try and be organized. I try and do what I can. But when there is a mess, like, I try to focus less on the mess and more about spending time with my children and my husband. And I say, that can get done later. This is what we're going to do now. And so I think that's very important for my well-being and my family's well-being.
How did you learn how to handle extreme wealth?
Like, you saying that is confusing to me. So I think I try and not think about that, right? I'm happy that it's there. That's great. But we're always like, how can we be better? And what can we do going forward? Because for us, it's not about the money. It's trying to figure out how to take what we have, help out other people, fulfill our goals, and make sure our children are okay. So I think that's not even a factor in our day-to-day.
What's the best personal finance advice you ever heard?
Oh, my goodness. Don't buy frivolous jewelry and nonsense, and don't take out leases on cars. And it's like, I don't know, Jay-Z said buy art instead because the value appreciates. We don't buy art, but
he told you.
If I did, I mean, I would listen to that. And just, you know, find good investments, find places to invest your money. And that's been good for us.
What do you like to invest in?
Things that I believe in. Women, schools, I think are important, like nurturing the forthcoming generations. I think coding is huge right now. So we try and, you know, do things that will benefit, you know, different quote coding organizations so that, you know, the kids are getting fed in not only private schools, but in like the underserved communities, and make sure that people are getting like fair educational opportunities. And so I think that's important for us.
How do you figure out who to trust with your money?
That's a hard one. We've been lucky in the fact that we use the same people that my husband's father used. And so we're almost like family. So we have that family trust. But it is hard figuring that out. You got to take a chance, unfortunately.
Have you ever had a bad experience?
No, I haven't. I haven't. We've been very lucky. I haven't.
You said you get your fix by putting things in your online shopping cart, but not not hitting buy, not clicking buy.
Yeah.
How come?
Because oftentimes, sometimes doing that is like a little bit of a stress reliever. And I know that I don't need all of these things that I'm looking at, but I'll put it in the cart and just forget about it. And it also helps me to think about if I really want it, because if I forget about it, I didn't need it. So I like put it in, close it off. And if I think about it, I'll go back and it's saved and it's there. If I need it, but if I don't, like, forget about it. It's a good method to like figure out what you really want and what you don't.
What do you say to people? It's like, why is she doing that? She doesn't need to do that. She could buy it.
I mean, that's not how I operate, though. That's not what life's about. You know, it's not about because I can get this, I'm going to get it. Both my husband and I, we've never been that way. It's nice to have nice things, but if you don't need it, you don't need it.
You said women need to be fearless. What do you mean by that?
I feel like, so for me, I feel like sometimes we're held back thinking we have to be confined to a box or a certain lane. And I don't think that that's necessary. I think that, you know, there is no ceiling, especially in this day and age that we're living in. Like, the possibilities are endless. And I just want women to know that and know that they can have a goal, set a goal, and obtain that goal with enough hard work. And I want women to know that there's a whole girl tribe out there of women that will support them. I think that's important. And I think that's something we've all learned over the years, is that it's not every woman against every woman. It's like every woman together uplifting each other, and there's space for everyone. And I think that's been really important for me. So I try and like nurture my relationships with other strong women, and we figure out ways to collaborate and get better together. I think that's really important.
So what made you decide to choose GoDaddy?
I think GoDaddy made so much sense. It's honestly, so both of my parents actually host their sites via GoDaddy, and they have for years. And so it was a no-brainer for me. I was in the middle of a rebrand trying to figure out how the heck I was going to do it, and the timing couldn't have been more fantastic. They were there to help with every step of the way, so that I could, with the planning of my site and all of that, so that I could focus on what I needed to focus on. And it's been a really great, beautiful partnership. And I'm just excited, you know, to represent them. It's been amazing so far.
What's ahead for you?
Ahead for me, right now, it's just making sure that Homemade is the best product possible. And that we're, you know, giving the consumers what they want, and that our message is clear and concise. That's really important for me. So it's taking everything that I have and making sure that it's the best. It's not necessarily adding anything onto my plate, but just making sure that I'm staying innovative and creative and making what I have great.
And how involved are you in all of that?
I was talking about this earlier, but like even with my cookware and my bedding, like every step of the way I'm involved, from the tooling of a handle to, you know, the Pantones to the way something feels. It's all very important to me. I'm very sensitive about my work. Like I want to make sure that everybody's getting the quality that they deserve, because I know, you know, that they're using their hard-earned money to buy these products, and I want to make sure that they're getting the quality that they need and deserve.
Time now for your secrets.
I'm Aisha Curry, and my money secret is to invest in things that you're passionate about. If you have the passion and you see that the person you're investing in has that passion, it's usually a good intuition, so trust your gut.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out more episodes of Secrets of Wealthy Women on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast provider. And be on the lookout for our upcoming ebook based on the Secrets of Wealthy Women podcast. This episode was produced by Tanya Bustos. I'm Veronica Dagger. Thanks for listening.
What's your secret? Let us know. Write podcasts@dowjones.com or on Twitter. Use #SecretsOfWealthyWomen.